a chair while you, or a...
I'm actually at Stern College this year.
Oh, Stern. Okay.
Yes.
Good, mixing up he's the son of Rosh Hashiva, Rav Hirshel Shechter from YU. A very big rav in your community, you can just download from YU Torah and any other format, and it's just a very big pleasure for us to hear from him this morning.
So, good morning. It's really a pleasure for me to be here.
Okay. And I'm taking record.
Of course. Or how about we'll see when I'm done. Whether it's worthy of being recorded. So, I'm happy to see that some of you are not sick. And Baruch Hashem, you should continue to be healthy. And Re'eh B'tuv Yerushalayim Kol Yimei Chayechem. You know, the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin that there are 10 kavim of yofi sheyardu le'olam. The Gemara says that there are 10 measures of beauty that came down into the world. 9 of them came to Yerushalayim. And 1 of them is for the rest of the world. So, Ein lecha yofi ki yafi asher Yerushalayim. How lucky you are that you have the opportunity to be here and to learn here and to bask in the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being in the city of Yerushalayim and to be a part of the nevuah. Od yesh v'zakenu v'zakenes berachovas Yerushalayim. What a schus it is to see the nevuah is all coming true and to actually be a part of it. Ki vachar Hashem b'tzion. So lucky you, and mekaneh b'chem. I'm jealous of you that you have the opportunity to learn here. Take advantage and make the most of it. I actually just mentioned in another school that I spoke in just a few moments ago that, you know, we spend a whole year dedicated to learning Torah, and I often feel nothing to do with any particular school, but I think about it all the time. How do we ever ask ourselves why we learn Torah? Which is not the topic of today's shiur that I was asked to speak about, but I'm just curious. Like, anyone ever wonder, why do we learn Torah?
As a foundation.
As a foundation for?
Your life.
For your life.
I mean, learning and you continue growing, but it's like, to build yourself.
So it's interesting. So the Baal HaTanya actually writes in his Sefer that the Torah is basically a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is the distilled version of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way my father likes to explain it to me, many years ago, he used to say the following, that when you have a young child who's in elementary school and you're trying to explain to them atomic energies, so they don't have the capacity to understand it. They don't have a mature enough mind to appreciate it. So what do? In sixth grade, so the teacher will come with 3 different color balls, and one will be yellow, and one will be green, and one will be blue, and I'll say, oh, this is the proton, this is the neutron, this is the electron. Obviously, a scientist understands that this is not the real thing. This is just a way to make a young child understand what it is that we're trying to impart to them. And there's so much more to it, but we have to start somewhere. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Baal HaTanya, distilled himself into the Torah. When you learn the Torah, you are understanding the essence of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And the more you get to know him, the closer you'll become. The more of an understanding you'll have of what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a part of our lives. And that is why we learn Torah. In fact, it's interesting. We say in the Shemona Esrei every day, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha. We're talking about Tshuva. When we're talking about Tshuva, we should say HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return us to him. And yet we don't say that. We say, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha. The Bracha in Shemona Esrei about Tshuva tells us that we should return to the Torah. Why? The answer is because the way to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to connect with his Torah. That is the only way to understand the essence of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And when one thinks about doing Tshuva, the way to do Tshuva is by connecting to the Torah, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say every morning in the Birchas HaTorah, Kulanu Yodei Shemecha. When we're describing the experience of Limud HaTorah, of learning, we say that we hope that we'll come to an understanding, Kulanu Yodei Shemecha, that by learning Torah, we'll know your name. What does that mean? It means that's what happens when we learn Torah. We come to an understanding of who the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And what greater place to do that than in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. So, how lucky you are, Ashreichem, that you're here and you've dedicated yourselves not only to 1 year, but this is all the members of the second year, to learn from your teachers and from all those who come to inspire you. and you should take advantage of this great and incredible gift that you have to come to a better understanding of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and as you so correctly said, to make that essential foundation in your lives of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to mean to every Jew. What I was asked to talk about today is a person making sure to have chesed in their schedule every day. So we know that Torah is a foundation of life, but the Mishnah says, Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed, al ha'Torah ve'al avodah ve'al gemilas chesed. Now it's interesting. Are women even obligated in the mitzvah of tefillah? That's a major discussion in the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berura and many others. And we should try, we should really try to make time. The Gemara says, I should have said that tefillah is a mitzvah saseh shehazman grom. Obviously, you can only daven shacharis in the morning, mincha in the afternoon, ma'ariv at night, so women should not have a chiyuv in tefillah. But yet the Gemara says, tefillah rachameinu, because we know that tefillah is the way that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all our needs. So the Gemara wonders, is it possible to imagine that a woman doesn't have needs? Do you think a woman doesn't need to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything? So of course she needs a daven. And therefore the assumption is that we engage in tefillah, we engage in Talmud Torah as well. And the third of these three very essential principles is, obviously, Gemilas Chasadim. What's important for us to realize is, the Chafetz Chaim mentioned something which we see today to be so true. Not that we needed it to be seen, but scientifically we know it's true. Say for a moment, I don't know if any of you have ever dealt with individuals with special needs or someone who has some kind of physical deficiency or something that's lacking. So very often, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that individual is they will have a heightened sensitivity in a different area. And that is because, I don't know scientifically, but they say the reason why is because if you're lacking in one area, maybe this other one will be able to make up for the lack of sensation that you have from whatever is not there. And that, the Chafetz Chaim writes, is what we need to think about when we say, Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed, al ha'Torah ve'al avodah ve'al gemilas chasadim. So what does it mean? We have Torah today. We're able to study Torah. Are we on the level of the great people who came before us? Probably not, but we learn Torah. It's the same Torah. Zos ha-Torah lo tehe mechlefes. It's the same Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael back then. Is there anything that has changed since Moshe Rabbeinu's time? So there's a fascinating Gemara Maseches Menachos. The Gemara writes in Menachos that kol ha-kelim she'asa Moshe Rabbeinu k'sherim lo u'k'sherim ledoros. All the kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu made for the Mishkan were able to be used, obviously, for Moshe Rabbeinu in his service in the Mishkan, but also, subsequently, they were able to be used also in any future generations. So say, for example, we were to somehow discover the kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu constructed way back when, and now we would have a Beis HaMikdash, we'd be able to use them, with one exception. Anybody knows what that is? What is the one exception? What Moshe Rabbeinu made, we cannot use it, were we to find it. The menorah. Why would you say the menorah? Because it's almost Hanukkah.
No. Wait, I heard it from someone else.
So the Gemara says the menorah. If we were to find it, we'd be able to even use the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we would probably have to polish it up and make sure it's, you know, up to speed. But we would be allowed to use it. So the menorah is not it. So what could it be? So I'm asking a question. How's anyone supposed to know the answer? I assume nobody here ever learned Maseches Menachos. And this is probably not a predictable answer because it's not the menorah or the shulchan or the aron. So the Gemara says that the only item that Moshe Rabbeinu made that we would not be allowed to use is the chatzotzros. Chatzotzros that Moshe Rabbeinu made, we would not be allowed to use them even if we would find them. That's so strange. What is so unique, what's so special about the chatzotzros that Moshe Rabbeinu made them and they're only kosher for Moshe Rabbeinu but they're not kosher for us? Why not? We're allowed to use the Mizbeach and the Menorah and the Shulchan and the Aron and everything else, but not the Chatzotzers. And the answer, Rameir Shapiro suggests the answer is as follows. The same Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu observed and the same mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu did are the mitzvahs that we do today, and nothing has changed. Zos ha-Torah lo tehe mechlefes. The same Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Kelim and all the Avodah of Moshe Rabbeinu is what we will do today as well. What has changed? The mode of communication of speaking to the members of our generation, that is what has changed. The presentation that we make to members of our generation who are not going to use the same mode of communication that Moshe Rabbeinu used. The Chatzotzros, says Rameir Shapiro, were Moshe Rabbeinu's way of communicating with the people. To go back to Moshe Rabbeinu's days and use that same mode of communication for our generation simply will not work. And therefore, says the Gemara, every other one of the Kelim would be able to be used in our generation. Why not? But when it comes to the Chatzotzos, which are talking about the mode of communication, how we give over the ideas of the Torah and make them relevant to our generation, that has to continue to change and evolve in every generation. So the Torah stays the same. And says the Chafetz Chaim, we have Torah, we have Avodah, we have Tefillah, we have all of that. But we don't have the Avodah that we used to have way back when. It's true we daven, and Avodah zu Tefillah. The supplement for Avodah today is the davening, but it's nothing near what it used to be in a Beis HaMikdash with Karbanos. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, we are in some way are balei mumin. We're deficient, we're lacking. And sometimes when somebody has a deficiency, they have to make sure that another one of their instincts is working much harder to overcompensate for that which is lacking. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, when we have the opportunity to do chesed today, we have to overcompensate because one of the fundamentals of Jewish life is not where it should be. The avodah part of our lives is not where it's supposed to be. And therefore, we do have the opportunity to overcompensate with chesed. It's fascinating, if you look through all of Torah, and you were to distill the entirety of Torah, and I would ask you, can you say what is the undertone of the entirety of Torah? I think we would have a very difficult time figuring it out. We'd have a hard time saying, what is the essence of Torah? What exactly is Torah about? What does it represent? Hard to say. So many different themes, so many different mitzvahs, so many different directions, hard to really know. The Gemara says in Masechta Sota, Daf Yud Daled, Torah, Tchilasa, Gemilas, Chasadim. Anybody here likes to read books? Yes, no?
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes books are really long. And you don't have time to read the whole thing. So what do? You read a little bit in the beginning, a little in the end. And okay, you got the basic gist of what it is. No? Anyone else does that? Just me? No?
No. No.
Not talking about a novel. If you're going to read a novel, then you miss the whole story. If you got to know, like, what is this? So you skim through it a little, you read the beginning, read the end, you got it. No? Robinson.
It's a good line.
Yes.
True? Yes.
Yeah.
So, that's what they did in my days. I don't know. Maybe not. Akshar Dora. You're in a better place now. But everyone has so much patience. What?
You Google it.
Now you just Google it. Right. In our days, they used to have the Cliff Notes. So. So
you
what are the...
Me that
this one?
No.
This one?
Yes.
Make sure it works. I actually have a pen in my pocket if it doesn't work.
Thank you. Yeah.
So...
Thank you.
If I were to... Does it work?
Yeah.
Okay. If not, I have one right here. So if I were to try to figure out what are the cliff notes of Kala Torah Kula, I don't have time to learn everything. So give me the bottom line. What is Torah? What would it be? So the Gemara says, Sota Daf Yud Daled. What? Torah Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim B'Sofa Gemilas Chasadim. The very beginning of all of Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great acts of kindness. The Ribbono Shalom created the world. The Ramchal writes in the Mesilas Yesharim. Why would the Ribbono Shalom create the world? Lehetiv im habruim. It was only to do good for people, for humanity. Why else? Why else are we here? Why else would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have needed us? Some people mistakenly think, the Ramchal, I believe, writes, some people mistakenly think, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to create us because how could he be a melech without having servants? Do you think the Ribbono Shalom is that narcissistic, that Khalila? That he needed to create us in order that he should be a melech? Hard to imagine such a thing. Said the Ramchal, of course that's not why. It was lehetiv im habruin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate. HaTov ha-metiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate doer of good. And therefore, he needed someone to be able to do good for. And that's why we're all here. So the beginning of the Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed. Says the Gemara, you look a little bit further into the parasha and you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only created the world, not only creates Avraham and Chava, but then... He made them kasnos or vayal bishem. Is that the Ribbono Shalom's job to make clothing for Adam and Chava? Go make your own clothing. That says the Gemara, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do chesed. And how do we see the bookend of Torah on the other side? What exactly was the end of Torah, says the Gemara? Sofa. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu buries Moshe. Ask the Gemara Maseches Menachos, do you think there was nobody who would have volunteered to bury Moshe Rabbeinu? Go to a big prominent Levaya today and you see hordes of people, everyone's pushing and screaming and fighting, and everyone wants to get near, and everyone wants to help bury. And even actually recently, we had someone in our community who asked that they wanted to join the Chevra Kadisha. It was a young woman. Usually we don't have young women on the Chevra Kadisha. It's more mature. But this young woman really is very sincere and very passionate and really wanted to do it. So we contacted the local Chevra Kadisha in our shul, and I asked them, you know, what's the protocol? What's the rule? So they said, we usually don't take young women unless they're in the medical field. If they're in the medical field and then they know how to deal with, you know, with bodies, then obviously they can be helpful in a way that some of the other members can. So it so happens this young woman is a nurse and a very noble profession, so she fits that qualification. So I asked this older woman who's been on the Chevra for years, I said, so how many times a year does one get a chance to be in the rotation? To be in the rotation of being part of the Chevra Kadisha, right? Not everybody shows up every time, so who exactly gets to do it and how often is that going to be the case? I said, she's a young mother. How many times is she going to have to leave the kids at night? Now my shul, just so you understand, I live in Long Island, in Woodmere. I don't know if there's anybody here from Long Island. Anybody? Yeah, where are you from? Where are you from?
Sears.
Oh, nice to meet you. Okay, a Lansman. So the so my shul has over 1,000 families. And on any given week, we have multiple levayas, unfortunately. We, Baruch Hashem, had multiple weddings also, but we have multiple levayas. So I asked this woman, so how often will this young woman who's now joining the Chevra Kadisha have a chance to actually be involved? She said, we're probably going to call her once or twice a year. Baruch Hashem, there are people clamoring to do mitzvahs. Not everyone can get a chance. So you ask yourself, the Gemara writes, there was nobody willing to help that Moshe Rabbeinu after he died, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's beneath him. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to go and bury Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bury Moshe Rabbeinu. And that was the end of the Torah, also expressing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence is all about. What is the Torah? The Torah is the Torah's Chesed. That is what our Torah is all about. It's the beginning, it's the end, and the Gemara says that is the underlying objective of somebody who learns Torah. So much so, the Gemara says in Yevamos, that shlosha simanim yesh ba'umazu. There are three recognizable traits and behaviors of every God-fearing Jew, of everyone who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and those are rachmanim, vayshanim, v'gom lechasadim, which is so important for us. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, quoting Gemara Masechta Sukkah, rachmanim means we have to be compassionate, vayshanim means we have to have busha, we have to have a little bit of what the right word is.
Dignity,
yes, that is the right word. Yes, thank you. We have to have a little bit of dignity and look around the world. People who live life with no dignity. People who live life and are not ashamed to say anything and are not ashamed to do anything or share anything or post anything. Yes, we're supposed to have some busha. We're supposed to have a little bit of dignity or a large dose of dignity. It's interesting. Now that you mention that word dignity, it's striking me. When we daven every month, we say Berchas HaChodesh. And in the Berchas HaChodesh, we say Chaim She'en Bahem Busha Ochlima. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us a month where we won't have Busha Ochlima. What does that mean? That we don't want to be ashamed. We don't want to be embarrassed. Right? So Busha there means embarrassment. So my father told me that some of the old Siddurim from Europe have a different girsa, have a different nusach. And they say, Chaim Sheyesh Bahem Busha Ochlima. My father said as a child, he was davening, his father was a rav in the Bronx, he was davening in shul. It was an alta yid from Europe who davened for the Yamad 1 week, and it was time to bench Rosh Chodesh. And he got up and he said, Chaim Sheyesh Bahem Busha Ochlima. Everyone started screaming, no, it's Chaim Sheyesh Bahem Busha Ochlima. Back and forth, fight. And it turns out there are two different girsos in the different siddurim. So on the one hand, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chaim She'en Behem Busha Ochlima. We don't want to be put in a situation where we're going to be ashamed by anything we do, that somebody should shame us. On the other hand, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chaim She'yesh Behem Busha Ochlima, that we should have a sense of dignity. We should have a sense of self. We should never put ourselves in a situation where we compromise our own expectation of ourselves of Busha Ochlima, which is healthy, which is the way it's supposed to be. I actually read an article a couple of years ago about a community in the Netherlands that nobody in this community has window shades. You know that? Nobody in this community has window shades, even on their bedroom. Why? They said, We're an open society. I have nothing to hide. If anyone wants to look into my house, let them see. I have nothing to hide. How low has man fallen that a person can get up and say, I have nothing to hide? You have no busha. You're supposed to have a certain sense of dignity, of self-respect. But you have no self-respect. You have no dignity. And having something to hide doesn't mean I'm hiding something illegal. It means there's something very private and very personal. My father likes to say that our neshama, our emotions, are kodesh kadosh. Not every emotion is supposed to be shared with everybody. Not every feeling that we have, not every date we go on with our spouse, not every celebration of an anniversary needs to be shared. Those are moments of kodesh kadoshim. Those are moments of very private dignity where we take in a moment and we have the opportunity to share in it together. And there's something very special about that. So, how did I get into this? Yes, Rachmanim, Baishanim, Vigom Lechasadim. Those are the three simanim. So the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah, what exactly is unique and special about Gemilas Chasadim? We've all heard about Tzedakah. Is Tzedakah and Gemilas Chasadim the same? Says the Gemara, no, not the same at all. There are a number of marked distinctions. Number one, says the Gemara, that when we talk about Tzedakah, Tzedakah is only limited to somebody who has money to give. Rav Moshe has a fascinating tshuva on the Igros Moshe. Somebody asked Rav Moshe that he wanted to retire. He had enough money to live out the rest of his life, and he had a pension or whatever it was. But he was going to live a very simple lifestyle, but he said that he won't be able to give tzedakah because he was just going to have what he needed. So does he have an obligation to continue to work even past the time that he wanted to retire? Because this way he'll be able to give out tzedakah. That's an amazing shaila. It's amazing that somebody asked it. It's beautiful that somebody asked it. So now that I'm telling a story about that, I'll digress and tell you a different story that my father just told me recently, which is really amazing. If you remember nothing else from today's shiur, you don't have to, just remember this story. It's phenomenal. So one day, Rav Moshe wasn't feeling well, and he told his Rebbetzin, he said that, if anyone comes to visit, please tell them I'm resting. I really don't feel well, my head is not clear, and I really can't speak. So fine. So she was doing her job very faithfully. Everybody who came to the door, she was saying, Rav Moshe's not feeling well, can you come back tomorrow? However, Rav Moshe left his bedroom door open so that if he would hear that there was somebody who came with an emergency, he would go outside and he would talk to them. Fine, somebody came. Rebbetzin said, you're going to have to come back tomorrow. He said, no, it's really an emergency. I have something that's really pressing, a major issue. So Rav Moshe heard, he came out of his room, he went outside, and he asked this person, what's the issue? So he said, I'm a Kohen, and I went to secular university, and I wasn't religious, and I became a Baal Tshuva, and I met a girl in university, both of us weren't from, and now I just found out, I had no idea that there's a problem for a Kohen to marry a girl who may have been involved in other things, other relationships. What am I supposed to do now? We're about to get engaged, and someone just mentioned this to me, what should I do? So Rav Moshe said to him, how do you know you're a Kohen? He says, well, my father told me. He says, but your father's not religious. He says, no. So he said, your father has no namas. He's not believed. Go marry the woman, not a problem. If you like her, you can marry her, it's okay. You're not a Kohen. Just like that. Okay. Rav Moshe went back to sleep. A couple of more people came. Rebbetzin told him to come back another time. Somebody came. Rebbetzin said to come back. He said, it's very important. I have to talk to Rav Moshe now. It's urgent. So Rav Moshe came out again. He said, I'm a 75-year-old Rosh Hashiva. I've been going to all of my Talmidim's weddings for the last 35, 40 years. And now I don't feel up to it anymore. I'm getting old. And it takes my whole night. And it's very exhausting. It's wiping me out. At what point do I have a right to say that I'm not going to attend the Talmidim's weddings anymore, even though I know it's going to mean so much to them? But what can I do? Rav Moshe looked at him and he said, that's a very serious shaila bin adam l'chaveiro. I'm not feeling so well right now. My head is not clear. You're going to have to come back tomorrow. We'll discuss it. You understand the godless of that story? Maybe you didn't get it. Does everyone understand the greatness of that story? Rav Moshe was matir a kohen to marry a woman who he's not allowed to marry off the cuff and said, oh yeah, not a problem. And when it came to a shaila about a Rosh Hashiva attending his Talmidim's weddings, Rav Moshe said, that's a very serious shaila ben adam l'chaveiro. So Rav Moshe got all kinds of questions, and you see the sensitivity in Rav Moshe's answers. But Rav Moshe writes, if you want to retire, and it means you're not going to have money left over to give to tzedakah, that's fine. Tzedakah is an obligation on someone who has extra money. You give it away. You don't have an obligation to go get a job in order to be able to give tzedakah. If you don't have, you don't give. It's okay. That was what Rav Moshe responded. So says the Gemara, tzedakah is only la'ashirim. Tzedakah is only something that a wealthy person who has extra money gives away to tzedakah. Gemilas chasadim, says the Gemara, is bein la'aniyim uvein la'ashirim. Gemilas chasadim is something that can be shared by all segments of the community. Everyone is able to be involved in gemilas chasadim. The Gemara then tells us as well, tzedakah is something that can only be done b'mamono. I can only do tzedakah with the money I have. Gemilas chasadim, I can invest of myself. I think about it all the time. I think the greatest act of gemilas chasadim we could do for other people is just to listen to them. So many people just need someone who's willing to listen to them. And that's what the Gemara says. Gemilas chasadim is bein begufo ubein b'mamono. Yes, sometimes I'm called upon to step up and to do gemilas chasadim with my money as well. But more often than not, I'm asked to just use my talents, to use myself, to use my body as the conduit for an act of gemilas chasadim. And that, says the Gemara, is why in some way gemilas chasadim is stronger than tzedakah itself. Gemilas chasadim is something that is even more prominent. I mention this in my shul every year. There are some people who run around the world before Yom Narayim to get skulas. They want a bracha from this one, they want to visit that kever, they want, and whatever, I'm not making light of it. You believe in those things, it's fine, it's great, it's wonderful. The Gemara does talk about going to a chacham for a bracha. Just choose wisely, go to the right person. But I always think, you know, the greatest skula you can actually have is to follow the skula that the Gemara says. So what's the skula the Gemara says? The Gemara says, Kala merachim ala b'yus, merachim ala min ha-shamayim. Somebody who's willing to be kind and generous and thoughtful and sensitive to others and to be compassionate to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the same. Like the Baal Shem Tov said, Hashem Tzilcha, the simple understanding of the Pasuk is, Hashem Tzilcha means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our shade. The Ribono Shel Olam protects us. But the Baal Shem Tov said, no. Hashem Tzilcha means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our shadow. Tzel also means a shadow. So when I move my hand in the shadow moves it the same amount. So too, said the Baal Shem Tov, that's what this means. Hashem Tzilcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our shadow. When we do acts of compassion and kindness and chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in the same way with us as well in return. And that is so critical, a component of what it means to be a Jew. Let me just close. I see we're almost out of time already. I don't know how much time I'm supposed to have.
12:05.
12:05? You tell me.
Yeah, I think we do have a 10
more minutes. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Roll up your sleeves, everybody. Okay. So the Gemara says, I was like, Russian. So the Gemara says in Maseches Sota, we learn from a pasuk, Acharei Hashem Elokecha Teilechem. Says the Gemara, we should follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mahu Malbish Arumim, Mahu Menachem Avelim, Mahu Kover Mesim. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu buries the dead, like we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, just like he visited Avraham Avinu when he was sick, he was Mevakar Cholim. He's Malbish Arumim, he made clothing for Adam HaRishon, so too we should do the same. Okay, we have another Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, where the Gemara says, learning from the Pasuk in Az Yashir, Zeh Keli Va'im Behu. So the simple understanding of the Pasuk is, Klal Yisrael had such a Gilu Shechina at that time, they saw the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh Keli, the Gemara says, is they were able to point to the Ribono Shel Olam, they felt the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment. But the Gemara says that it means something additional to that as well. Zekeli Va'anveyu, says the Gemara, Hevei Domelo. Va'anveyu is a play on the words, and it means we should emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu Racham V'chanun, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compassionate and caring and merciful, so too we should be the same. So I ask you, we know that every word in the Torah is carefully measured and there for a particular purpose. There is no repetition. So why do we need two psukim to tell us the same thing? Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so wonderful and so nice and so considerate, so too we should be the same. We have a Gemara Maseches Sota, learns it from Acharei Hashem Elokecha Teilechem, Mahu Malbish Arumim, Mahu Mevakar Cholim, Mahu Kover Mesim. We have a Gemara Maseches Shabbos, learns it from Zekeli Va'anveyu, Mahu Racham L'chanan, Afata Racham L'chanan. It's the same thing. What's the message? So Rav Asher Weiss once told me the following insight. It's so phenomenal. Anyone in this room have a member of your family who's on Hatzalah?
Yeah.
Yes? So, this is not meant as a negative at all to Hatzalah. But sometimes you have people who are so excited to be involved, right? So those kind of people. They're very excited. They step up. They get involved. And for all the right reasons. Nothing wrong. For all the right reasons. I don't hear of a family member who's a doctor. Right? A doctor steps up, takes care of patients. Can there be a more noble profession than that? And a doctor or a nurse helps people out, rehabilitates them. Occupational therapist, the physical therapist, look what they're doing, right? They're great. And they are following in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu Menachem Abele, Mahu Kover Mesim, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does all of these acts, so too we are expected to do the same. But sometimes, because they deal with this so much, Hatzalah member, imagine if every time they go on a call, they're going to fall apart. So they have to create some kind of wall between themselves and the patient. They're just not going to be able to do the job. And that's the second pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's not enough to actively go on the call, to take care of people, to be kover mesim, menachem abelim. You also have to be a person who's a rachum nechamim. You also have to be a person who's compassionate, who's caring, who's sensitive, who's understanding, who really cares about what it is that they're doing, about the impact that they're making in other people's lives. Not just to do it, but to feel it also. And in the opposite direction, there are so many people who are so compassionate and so sensitive, and they read a terrible news item and they say, oh, this is so shrekel, it's terrible. I don't know about you, I get emails all the time. You know, people forward you WhatsApps or emails, oh, look at this, oh, it's so sad. So sad, what are you doing for them? What are you doing for them? How many people watched what was going on in Ukraine and did nothing? And said, this is horrible, I can't believe it, it's terrible. Now you'll say, what am I supposed to do? Be creative, there are things to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's not good enough to say it's so sad and I have to be compassionate and sensitive and caring. You have to go beyond that. And you have to be Kover Mason, Amenachem Avelim, and Mevaker Cholim. You have to actively engage in chesed also. It's not okay to do one without the other. And both of these people are being addressed by these two divergent psukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects both of us, both of these character traits from all of us. Not only to actively be involved, but also to be compassionate as we do that. Not only to be compassionate, but also to actively engage in what it is that we're trying to accomplish as well. You have a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if doing chesed gives you a benefit? Like no, I can't remember, but like, let's say like I will see like my grandfather, but like actually it makes me better than him. Like he's just like happy to see me, but for me it's just like so much better. So I consider chesed.
First of all, you're an amazing granddaughter.
She is.
That your attitude when you go to visit your grandfather is that there's so much to learn from him. So that's first of all. And you should have many, many happy and healthy years together with your grandfather and be able to visit him. So yes, what can possibly be wrong with getting benefit from that as well?
No, so it's not real chesed, it's not sacrifice.
I don't believe that to be true. I go every summer. I'm the rabbi in Camp Simcha in the summer for 2 weeks. I don't know if anyone's ever been to Camp Simcha. It's a very, very amazing place, a very difficult place to be. Is this a feeder sometimes for Camp Simcha? Really? Yeah, students who go? Anyone here has been there? Yeah? Were we there together?
Yeah, that's why you look
at my house. Okay. And it's painfully sad to be there sometimes, and especially in the position I'm in. I have hundreds of kids coming over and talking about their illnesses and about their treatments and their lack of emunah and their hate for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all these kinds of things. And it's very, very complicated. But at the same time, I walk away so much stronger every summer and with such an appreciation for life and for people. You know, this summer, I had two girls who came over to talk to me after a shiur that I gave. And they came over and they said, you know, this journey of cancer for them was very, very personal, and they never shared the details with anyone about this particular point. And they said they came to camp and they became so close because of their shared experiences. They were shocked to learn that they both had the same reaction. They were both going through the same thing, and they wanted to talk about it. So I said, what's the issue? What do you want to talk about? So they said that they're both 16 years old. They've been in remission for 2.5 years, Baruch Hashem. And they said they daven every day since they got better that they should get sick again. So I said, why? They said the closeness that we felt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we were sick is something we miss every day. And we'll take it all again to feel that. Now, we got into a discussion about why it's horribly inappropriate to daven for such a thing. I got into that discussion a few days later. But at the time, you stand there in awe of such children. When was the last time in your life you cried that you didn't feel close to HaKadosh Baruch? And these girls are crying every day that they used to feel so close, and now they don't feel that anymore. So yes, we grow from the chesed that we do, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're supposed to grow from all the opportunities that we have to do mitzvos and to engage in everything. The Avnei Nezer has a very famous paragraph where he writes, "There are those who mistakenly feel that when I learn Torah, I shouldn't enjoy it, because that's not Torah lishma. If I'm going to enjoy it, then that's not real learning. I should sweat over it, and I shouldn't enjoy it, and it shouldn't be fun, and it shouldn't be enjoyable. This way, I'll really be learning." The Avnei Nezer says, that's not the case. Look at the bracha we say every morning, Harav Na Hashem Elokeinu. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make Torah and the Torah experience something that's sweet for us, something that's enjoyable, something that's engaging. So yes, we're supposed to gain from the experiences that we have, and there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't take away from the experience at all. It makes us better, and it makes us want to do it more. If we grow as people from the experiences that we have, we're going to want to be involved in such experiences as we continue to grow, so that we can have those feelings more often. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I think it's beautiful. So let me just close with one final comment, and that is, Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz writes something fascinating in his Sefer. And from the moment I saw this, it changed my Shmona Esrei forever. We say every day in the Shmona Esrei, the end of the first bracha is, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu Magen Abraham. Which means, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected Avraham Avinu, we ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect us. Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz writes, and I'm going to read you his words because they're so beautiful. Eich yoiz ishlomar magin Avraham. And I'll be honest, until I saw this, I actually never thought about the words. He's saying magin Avraham every day, multiple times a day. I never thought about it. But he says, Eich yoiz ishlomar magin Avraham. How can a person say these words, Magen Avraham, in the Shemona Esrei? V'hu eno sam alev lalechas be'ikvosav l'rachen kol midach ulufakeach b'chal iskei koshel. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect us the same way he protected Avraham Avinu. Can you look HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the eye and say, I'm living the life of chesed that Avraham Avinu lived, and therefore in return, I ask that you protect me the way you protected Avraham Avinu. If we want that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us that kind of protection and have that kind of relationship, then we need to pledge to live a life like Avraham Avinu. To live lives that are focused on being Bali Chesed. That's what it is. And it's as a result of that that Avraham Avinu was worthy of having HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected. But says Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz, how can you say an empty phrase, Magen Avram, without pledging to anything on the other end? If you're not signed up to live that kind of life, which is the life of Avraham Avinu, then how can you expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu in return to do anything for you that's similar to what he did for Avraham Avinu? Ever since I saw that comment, it just profoundly changed my Shmona Esrei. This is such an innocuous line in Shmona Esrei, Magen Avram. I don't know how many people actually think about it. It's just words that we're so familiar with. But it's so profoundly impactful when you think about it that way, as a guide to what the vision of every day of our lives are supposed to be. And the Shalah HaKadosh writes, the same way we cannot go by a day of life without learning Torah or without davening, so too says the Shalah, we have to make sure that we do not go by a day of our lives without chesed as well. The Chafetz Chaim reiterates this in the Sefer Avas Chesed, which if you've never learned it, it's a beautiful Sefer about many issues of Ben Adam HaVeiro, many issues of chesed. But there, the Chafetz Chaim repeats that as well. And what the Chafetz Chaim argues is, especially in a generation like ours, where we don't have the full and complete fundamental foundation of Avoda, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, let us try to overcompensate with one of the other fundamentals, which is Chesed, and we have the opportunity to overdo it with Chesed. Look around our community and see how much Chesed goes on. It is phenomenal. It's amazing. is there an organization that doesn't exist for every niche, for everything, for every single issue that comes up, for children with diabetes and for children with special needs and for children with this and for parents who aren't well and anybody in their community has eye shine, and you have just so many things going on, so much for all of us to be involved with. And all we need to do is take advantage of all the infrastructure that's there and apply ourselves and use that as a guidepost for how we're going to spend the good part of every one of our days. So, pleasure to meet all of you. It's a pleasure to learn together. We should have an opportunity to continue to grow, and I thank you for having me.
Thank you.
It's a real school.